Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by...
I actually met my wife on CatholicSingles.com, if you can believe that.
Really?
And about, yes, I had never done that before. Didn't have any problems with dating.
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free. Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Good morning, Ricardo.
Good morning, Philip.
Good to see you.
Good to see you, too. How is life?
It's going all right. It's going all right. How about you?
Fine with me, also. I love summer. July is my birth month.
Okay.
So 29th is my birthday. I will be in Spain, actually, this. Finally, I'm able to travel to Spain with a bit of anxiety because depending on where you check, you have different rules, but hopefully I will be able to go in and come back. And it was like an aspiration of mine when all this started that I would please see my parents again. And
right.
It seems it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, it doesn't feel like summer at all to me. It's just different. You know, as we try to figure out what's going on in parish lives and just our lives in general. How are things going at the parish right now at Sacred Heart?
We're doing fine. It's a great time of opportunity, as you said, as you mentioned a couple of weeks ago. It's a great time for parishes to look at what we do, see what we have to do, and to review what the parish is offering. And I think it's a great opportunity to do that.
I agree. I think as individuals and as businesses, and especially in our context as parishes, I think this phrase that I've heard, but let's never go back to normal.
Mm-hmm.
And in a sense, you can't. It's a different world now than it was in January, for instance, and kind of our how we look at things is very different. But I'm really challenging our two parishes to say there's no such thing as normal anymore. Let's be better than we were before. It's like a new, it really is a new Pentecost. So our liturgical celebrations have gone really well, but I'm being very strict in that nothing else is returning yet until we really discern and pray about that as staff, as others, and me as pastor as well. So I'm just taking this as a real opportunity for a clean slate, and then those good things that truly were fruitful as outreach before we'll consider returning those.
It's very important, and I think part of what you are saying, and we tend to think that in order to improve an institution, we have to add more things.
Right.
So anyway, here we are, Two Guys and a Gospel. We haven't introduced ourselves for a while. I'm Father Ricardo Martin. I'm the pastor at Sacred Heart Parish in Racine, Wisconsin, and also the Vice Chancellor here in the Archdiocese of Milwaukee.
And I'm Father Philip Ogacki. I'm the pastor at Christ King and St. Bernard Parishes in Wauwatosa, Wisconsin, in the Milwaukee area.
We both happen to be canonists, licensed canonists, but we almost never speak about canon law in this podcast.
That's right.
We're still reading Matthew's Gospel. Today, the Gospel comes from Matthew chapter 11, verses 25 to 30.
At that time, Jesus exclaimed, "I give praise to you, Father, Lord of heaven and earth, for although you have hidden these things from the wise and the learned, you have revealed them to little ones. Yes, Father, such has been your gracious will. All things have been handed over to me by my Father. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. Come to me, all you who labor and are burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am meek and humble of heart, and you will find rest for yourselves. For my yoke is easy, and my burden light. It's a great gospel, and this is now a transition to the parables that Jesus is going to speak of in following weeks. But yeah, just a beautiful gospel of comfort. As I indicated last week, after those somewhat challenging words, now Jesus not pulls it back, but he shifts a little bit. And you know, my yoke is easy and my burden light.
Since you are a type A personality, you said, so we have this part about, we were reading about the demands of discipleship. Mm-hmm. Then Jesus sends the disciples, and they have a good experience, positive experience. Then we jump to chapter 11, verse 25, where the gospel starts today. The disciples are back, and they've had a great experience. And it's one of the few times in the gospel where Jesus is clearly happy with his disciples. We've seen many gospels where he seems a little disappointed.
Right.
Here he's happy. An anecdote I have about this gospel that comes from my origin and accent is that I remember once that we had it with the school children. And they thought I was preaching about the yolk of an egg.
Ah.
And then at the end of the homily, I said, they were looking weird to me. I said, what's going on? And they really thought I was talking about the yolk of Jesus. A very important point that Jesus says, my yoke is easy. So I've preached this before. If you're following Jesus becomes like a constant sacrifice and torture, maybe we should reconsider the way we are following Jesus. You know, Jesus is not asking us to be masochists that are always, you know, you can be a follower of Jesus and be a happy person, hopefully, because otherwise that would be a tough thing to do.
Well, right. Deep down inside, it's a life of joy, and it needs to be that way. We don't have to be, you know, smiling all the time. We've talked about this. You don't need to be smiling all the time. But yes, what Jesus calls us to is very possible. We're able to do it. Yeah. If it's this heavy yoke and the burden is heavy, are we really listening to the words of Jesus from the gospel as we live our lives?
I reflect about this when I see people at Mass, and I've had many dialogues with people. The way we look, the body language of people, and the face, even the face of people sometimes. You wonder what's happening. And some people say, well, we're paying attention, and sometimes we don't hear very well, and then we have that face. But you can see that sometimes I believe people have been brought up with this idea that church was a very serious place. And I think body language sometimes betrays us. We are there celebrating the real presence of Christ. We are celebrating community. We are celebrating that God is with us. I think we should be a little bit more happier sometimes and look like it.
Yeah, I think you're right. But I don't know, the older I've gotten, the more I've come to appreciate, sometimes people just don't know how they look. I was really grateful. I had an employee a number of years ago who literally the day that this person started said, just so you know, when I'm concentrating, it looks like I'm frowning. You know, so when I'm listening carefully, it looks like I'm frowning. I just want to warn you, I know it about myself, and I'm not angry, but it's just, I can't help it, you know. But I do think it's our whole lives that goes along with body language and facial expressions. You're right about that. And I've looked out as well. Again, as priests, we look out on the crowd.
Yeah, and the few times in life when we have a mental lapse and we actually tell someone, why do you look this way in the middle of a homily, which has happened to me.
Yeah.
That never goes well. It's a great gospel. Yeah.
It is, and it's not only about the comfort, but it's also about Jesus reaffirming that relationship with the Father to say, you know what, we are one. No specific mention of the Holy Spirit here, but all things have been handed over to me by my Father, and no one knows the Son except the Father, no one knows the Father except the Son, and anyone to whom the Son wishes to reveal him. So there's that comfort, but also that sense of a love, of participation in the Trinity, and the love between the Father and the Son.
The other thing I see that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago also, and maybe we are on to something. There is a line here that sounds like the Beatitudes, a meek of heart. Mm-hmm. And Jesus has said at the beginning of the Beatitudes, blessed those who are meek.
Right.
Would it be possible to find some correspondence between the map, the roadmap of the Beatitudes, with things that Jesus says afterwards? I haven't heard this before, but it's the second time that I find a gospel in Matthew that seems like a deeper reflection in one of the Beatitudes. Jesus is saying here, if you are meek and humble of heart, then it will be easy for you. It will be easy. And isn't that true that we come to faith and to life in general with lots of complications. And Jesus is saying here, guys, it's much simpler. It's very simple, actually.
So now that's a very captivating thought. So blessed are the merciful. Often throughout Matthew's gospel, Jesus is going to repeat that almost word for word. Be merciful as my Father is merciful. And speaking of that, it's a captivating thought to say, could you look at all of the Beatitudes and actually find that throughout the gospels? I've never thought of that.
Maybe we should do that and publish a book.
A little project.
From
that's
the
right.
authors of Two Guys and a Gospel.
That's right.
The book, The Beatitudes, actually makes sense. No. I would like to leave it at this. What do you think?
I think that's good. It's a beautiful gospel, and look forward to celebrating this weekend and preaching again one of those gospels, too, where I'm going to struggle a little bit because I think it's very clear from Jesus, but we'll see.
So before we go, happy 4th of July.
And you as well, American citizen.
I am a dual citizen, and since my personality is very dual in many ways, I thought that that made sense. Actually, it's my favorite celebration of the year.
It normally is for me. It's unusual this year. I don't have the same kind of excitement because it's just, you know, with everything that's gone on.
We need excitement back.
We do.
So we'll meet next week again?
All right. I'll see you next week.
See you there.
These are unprecedented times for our world, our nation, and our faith. Cities are being burned. The debate rages over our national identity, and a global pandemic has shut down our parishes and deprived the faithful of the sacraments. Times like these can challenge our faith and our hope. Now more than ever, Catholics need to utilize technological advances to strengthen their faith. Endorsed by faithful bishops and cardinals, Breadbox Media is answering this need by providing on-demand podcasting that is faithful to the magisterial teachings of the Catholic Church. Our podcasts let you nurture your faith at any location, at your convenience, and at no cost. We are able to provide this free service because of the generosity of our donors. Would you consider giving a donation today to support this vital ministry? Not only is your donation tax deductible, but you will be helping to transform hearts, minds, and our culture for Christ. Donations can be made by going to breadboxmedia.com. Thank you, and may God bless you.